Hello and welcome to Artists Soar. This is a podcast for artists by three artists. We discuss all aspects of being artists, the good, the bad, and the ugly. The goal of each podcast is to provide solutions so artists can focus on their creativity and soar above. I'm Rachel Harshenko.
Jules McCullough.
Stephanie Weaver.
Ernest Hemingway once said, "We are all apprentices in a craft where no one ever becomes a master." In today's episode, we are going to be talking about why artists are kind of closed off and they don't like to show their stuff, and there really aren't any apprentices anymore. So we're going to discuss that in today's episode. So this isn't Donald Trump's apprentice show. You're fired.
That's why nobody wants an apprentice anymore.
Maybe that's why.
You're fired.
But it is so true, though, that right now artists are very closed off and they don't like to show works in progress. We've talked about that. And no one is going to be taking an apprentice anytime soon. And I can tell you that that has happened here in Huntsville with two people that we know. They teamed up and were working together. And supposedly, the second person decided to do exactly what they were doing together, but on their own, when the first person had given him all his good ideas.
Yeah, all the tips and tricks. And then the guy went off and became his competitor.
His own thing.
Like...
Correct.
Direct competitor.
Competitor.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that's kind of crazy. I think, gives a lot of people pause because that's what they feel is going to happen.
Yeah.
And I wonder how often that really happens.
Well, I mean, okay, so in the art world, we're actually teaching each other, right? One artist teaches another artist, and... you know, they can become competitors, but they're still going to have a different way and a different style of doing things. So is it really going to be a competitor? I think that's another question to kind of ask.
Yeah. And like the two you're talking about, Rachel, yes, they became direct competitors, but they are completely opposite in their
style.
Their style, but also in their way of interacting with the client.
Yeah, very true.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
So, you know, even though they're, even though they're direct competitors, whoever their customer is, for one, is never going to go to the other.
So true.
Right.
And vice versa.
And it's the same for us. I mean, if you think about it, we're all each other's competitors because we have art.
Right.
We're putting it out there. But it's so different.
Yeah, each one of us has a completely different style. And if it's the same subject, you're going to get three completely different takes on that subject. It was just like this past week, I participated in the Create with Kat Co, Kat Coquelette's challenge that she does every week. And it was a flamingo challenge. And she posted a specific design up and said, create this in your style. Well, mine is totally different than what she put up there. It's still flamingos and it still has tropical leaves around it, but I just did a completely different take. And everyone that she reposted that I saw was completely different.
Right.
Even though it was the exact same motivational piece or inspirational piece. Sorry, not motivational, inspirational piece.
Right.
So, you know, I don't see anything wrong with apprentices, but for whatever reason, people have gotten away from it. And I'm just sitting here thinking, I wonder if that's because interns have become the new apprentice.
Yeah.
In
but
a
you
certain
can still
way.
Get a, you can apprentice, when I think of apprentice, I think it's like somebody that comes and lives with you. And lives and does all everything that you do, and then like in the, at least that's I think the classical sense of it. An intern is just somebody that shows up from 8 to 5 to do what you tell them to do. They're not there necessarily to. They are there to learn, but are they there to learn to do that as a living? Not necessarily.
That's, That's true.
I don't know. Now, I would love to have an intern. That was something I actually, before spring break, I contacted the high school and to see about, are there any art students who are interested in pursuing art as a career? And then I can have them be an intern. I would actually teach them, like, the social media aspects of it, you know, how to present yourself, how to sell yourself, how to do submit information to exhibits and galleries, how to source them, research them, and things like that. Mm-hmm. And needless to say, the high school was not, they were willing to do it, but they had no process to find to do this type of thing. And I haven't followed up since, and that's on me, but I don't necessarily think that it's on the, I don't think a lot of people are looking to be an intern or an apprentice.
Well, I think it's more because, well, okay, so I'm just going to, I think people are learning being an apprentice with like videos and online and Skillshare and this and that. And they'll just watch. They'll just watch someone online. Mm-hmm. Oh, I'm going to watch them. They're painting live. Well, I'm just going to go watch them. That kind of thing.
That doesn't give you the interaction that you would get from like an intern or apprenticeship, because the whole point of that is to have a educational discussion after
it's
you do the
back
task.
And forth.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, yeah. I mean, is that, I don't know. Are apprentices out and mentors, are they in?
Or the coaching thing.
Or coach.
Coaching thing, yeah. Which, like, to is me, it just I think a the new... coaching thing is for when you're more established. I don't see the coaching thing as mm-hmm. when you're getting started. I see that more being find a mentor, be an apprentice or an intern, and learn the processes and procedures. Then once you're more established, you have a year or two under your belt, then it's, you know, hiring a coach to help you grow. Mm-hmm. But I don't know. But does that make artists closed off because they aren't hiring or, you know, looking for apprentices? Or is apprentices just such a classical thing now?
That. I'm wondering what universities, like true art universities like SCAD or some of these mm-hmm. other places, if they still have apprentices and one-on-one matchups. I don't know. I haven't done any research on that, so I don't know. But like just as far as if you're picking it up and you're painting now, you can't go to apprentice.com and find a master to work with.
Yeah.
Right.
So.
See, and I know in the architectural schools, you know, there are studio days every single day, and there are graduate students that are kind of acting as that mentor for said apprentices. And it's more of an apprentice mentor setup between the professors and those graduate students teaching the process, the procedures, the whys, the hows, as well as, okay, you've built this model. These are the things that we see wrong with it. Oh, here's your rendering. These are the things that, you know, you need to improve on, and here's the why. I mean, there's a lot more of that one-on-one. So I would say in a fine art school like SCAD or Washington University in St. Louis or something like that, that they would have more of that.
That's what I'm thinking.
Yeah.
But go ahead.
I was just saying, I know in their camps that they have for their fine art and architectural programs, they do offer more of that one-on-one support in a group setting.
I'm wondering, I look at, let's just say, popular artists or artists who are mm-hmm. big, putting it up in air quotes, big now. Like, I don't see them looking to train people to follow them, though. I think they're a lot of, I don't know. I just feel like they're in it for themselves. And I think you're right. I think to find a good apprentice or a good mentor or a master to follow, I think I would hit up like your local community college or even reach out to places like SCAD or mm-hmm. other design and art universities.
Well, you just said something interesting that had a thought pop in my mind when you said something about the artists are in it for more for them. It reminds me of those artists that are well known that are going and doing these classes. They're doing online classes instead of having an apprentice because they can make money right. at it.
Exactly. That's what I was saying. A lot of people just learn online through Skillshare or those other.
Yeah.
They're not doing. And again, does that make them more closed off? And I feel like it kind of does. I feel like sometimes it does put that an extra barrier between, I don't know, the art and who or he or she is.
For that one-on-one learning, it definitely does.
Yeah. I don't know. Like, what do you think you would get as an apprentice to someone, to a master or a local now, compared to what it was back in, say you were studying with Monet or Rembrandt or whatever, you were one of their apprentices. And today's, I don't think it's the same. I think you get less now.
So when I was looking at this one guy in New York, and I forget the guy's name, but he's well known, and he's got, you know, like multiple barns of where he produces his art. And he's gotten to the point where he's so big that all he does is have the ideas, and then he actually has another artist render the ideas. So in that sense, like those people, those artists who he pays, in theory, I think, I'm not 100% on that, to be there, they are the artists, but he signs it. So,
whoa, that's crazy.
So they're learning from him, like artistic, you know, idea and concept, and probably the business behind being a big named artist. Mm-hmm. To me, that's more of a fraudulent way of doing things. But I know, when you look back in the Renaissance era, there are a number of artists that were apprentices who were doing pieces of the art for like large chapels and things like that.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And the master is credited for it, but they can pick out in the pieces which ones like Da Vinci did or Michelangelo or Rembrandt. They could pick out who did what in those pieces based on their style. Is that right? I don't know, because they were doing like they were being apprentices and learning the job.
Right.
And so when, I don't know, we kind of went on a couple things there. There's the idea of like our artists being closed off because they're teaching online and making income from the teaching. I think that's a legitimate stream of income because a lot of people that are teaching
classes,
they're doing it for fun. They're not doing it because they want to learn how to do a business. I think nowadays,
correct.
I think we hit on it earlier, I think nowadays people are going to quote apprentice more like a mentor coaching program, and it's just called that.
I would agree with that.
Yeah, I think you're right. I mean,
but they're paying.
I don't think there's anything wrong with the teaching.
No, there's nothing wrong with it. Yeah,
but I wonder. So with the apprenticeships back in the Renaissance time period, I don't know, were those kids paid to be there, like as workers?
That I have no idea. But you're right, though. You brought a good point up earlier, Stephanie. I mean, they lived and breathed with that master every day. I mean, they weren't... Mm-hmm. It's more like...
boarding school. I don't know.
Yeah.
College.
I mean, right. Mm-hmm. It wasn't... You know, like today, you can go and do an artist's... what's that called when artists go and stay... at a location. I've got a friend that's doing that
retreat.
Right now.
Residency.
That's
okay,
it.
Okay, yeah.
I've got a friend that's spending, I think, 3 months in Paris.
But they're paying to do that. That's the thing I'm wondering. So did the mm-hmm. apprentices back then, did they pay to be there or were they getting paid?
Yeah, I don't know.
And all the residencies nowadays, like you got to pay like $1,900, you know, or more to go and stay somebody and you're applying to go there. And
right,
I'm
right.
like, man, I could just go get a hotel for 7 days and paint.
Yeah, exactly.
Right, right.
I don't know. I don't right. understand it. I don't know what's going on nowadays. It's like I blame our generation, honestly. Our generation monetized the crap out of everything.
Yes. Like, yes.
Go cheerleading
competitions. Right. If you don't have a second income. Yeah.
Yeah.
You know.
Tell me about it.
Pay $20 for a big bow and another $40 for the T-shirt. We monetized the crap out of everything.
We did.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And I think that's, you know, when you look at these coaching programs, and I was looking at a coaching program the other day that was like $50,000.
Ooh, ouch.
Yeah, well, obviously I'm not doing that. And but it's like somebody that I admired his work. And,
how do you even know if they're good? Like, are you sure that they're worth the $50,000? I mean, good grief.
Well, they certainly market themselves well. So I would assume so.
Yeah.
You know, but I don't know. That's why like, I'm kind of at a standstill of what this looks like in the future. And when we talk about why are artists so closed off, there's multiple things that are running through my head. One of them is like, you know, yes, I would love an intern because I want to be able to teach them all the things that they're not going to learn if they go to art school. And
right.
And then
so true.
And that would also yeah. take a burden off of me, you know, because I'm going to teach them how to do what I've been doing so I could focus right. on actually more revenue generating components of my business. So I love that idea, but I don't know whether to pay them or not. Because
well, you're required to in the state of Alabama too.
Are they? I didn't mm-hmm. see that anywhere. And I'm fine
yeah,
with that.
Because,
but are you required of $15 an hour?
I think that's the minimum. Rachel, you showed me that at one point.
Yeah. It's somewhere in the Alabama labor laws. I'm not real sure.
So that's something else that, like, everybody who's listening, if you're wanting to get, like, an intern or an mm-hmm. apprentice, you got to learn your labor laws, your state labor
yes.
laws.
For your state labor laws, yes.
Yeah, because I made the mistake. I didn't pay an intern. I didn't know I had to.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, then it's like, well, can you just contract them? And because contracting, you're not responsible for what unemployment tax and all that other. There's a number of things. So, I mean, that's like a whole. That's probably another reason why we're standoffish. We don't want to get into the legalities of all the
right
red tape. You know?
Exactly.
But that's.
That's why I like things like FreeUp and Fiverr because
yes.
I don't have to deal with 1099s and all that stuff.
Yes.
I can still label them as contract labor mm-hmm. in my QuickBooks, but I don't have to do the 1099 form.
Well, and then the other aspect
right.
of being closed off that you guys kind of mentioned was, you know, why don't we show off our stuff? So these two ladies know that I'm working on getting a studio at Low Mill. And one of the first things that pops into my mind is like how it's kind of like a fishbowl. You know, you got people walking mm-hmm. by, mm-hmm. you know, looking at you through the big window.
Right.
And I'm like, yeah. in my mind, I'm like, where do I want my easel to be? Because, you know, people judge. That's what everybody does. And so do I want only them to see works and finished pieces? Or am I okay with them seeing the work in progress?
Yeah.
That's another where it gets standoffish because I don't want to be judged. Are you guys standoffish?
Well, thinking that I just added two works in progress to my story on Instagram today, I would say not.
No, I have not been on Instagram today at all.
Well, so. And I think a lot of people at Low Mill are okay with showing their works in progress.
Yeah.
Like the girl next across from us, she has like a big, huge piece she's been working on now mm-hmm. for like 3 months. Mm-hmm. And she's like, Yeah, I'm kind of stuck right now.
Does it actually say that on it? Like, I'm stuck or work in progress? No, but that would be
funny. I was just talking to her about it. But, you know, it's on her easel.
Mm-hmm. And
you can tell it's not finished, which I love. I'm looking at it. I'm like, this is, it's an interesting way to see inside the artist perspective and how she works.
Mm-hmm.
And I love it that I'm like, okay, she's really awesome. I love her work. And she's stuck? Okay, then I'm okay. If I can't figure out...
Yeah, I agree with that, Rachel, definitely. You know, but also, what does it matter if they judge? They're going to judge on the finished piece and they're going to judge on the work in progress.
That's so true.
So what does it really matter?
Yeah. And every artist knows, like you've said, Stephanie, there's always that ugly period of your piece where you're like, wow, this looks like... And I was about to really cuss, but this looks like crap. Had to catch myself.
You know, and that might be even like a funny thing that I could even add on, like when I do finally get a space there, I'm on a wait list. That's when I do get a space there to put above it. It's like, hey, come back next week and see what changed, you know?
Right, exactly.
Yeah.
It could be a promotional piece of watching the evolution, just like what you were and doing on Instagram.
Right. And the thing is, like, when people come to the mill, people know it's working studios. These are working artists.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It's not a retail.
It's not a gallery. I mean,
right. It's not a gallery. Yeah. It's, you know, a working studio space. And not all studios sell their work within, you know, to the common person walking through.
Mm-hmm.
Some do. You know, some have the retail aspect, but not all of them are required to. So... it's really a working, you know, 150 plus working artists.
Yeah.
And I mean, we even have that guy in there that pours, you know, metal, you know, he does statues and everything, the outside in the railroad car. And he did one live, but that piece ended up cracking, you know,
that's so sad.
And he had to re-pour it. And it was so fun to watch the progress of it. Cause I mean, and he's very successful.
Yeah.
So I'm like, well, yay. You know, I guess it is okay if you screw up here and there, you know.
Well, and I think that's the reality of being an artist, too. And if you're not showing your work in progress, does that make you closed off then? You know?
Yeah.
Or just make it, like, me, where I just don't even think about it.
Right. And maybe that's, when we're talking about these artists being closed off, maybe that's the reality of it. And it's not that they're being closed off. They're just... have a imposter syndrome or a fear of showing whatever it is that they're showing.
Well, I thought I was doing a workshop, like a live workshop with another lady. I was taken from her. And one of the girls in the class, she was like, because you're terrible at this, I'm going to be taking pictures and posting them on social media.
What?
I mean, she was like, oh, thank you. I always forget. Like that. And, I mean, it's just the way it is because she's too busy teaching and she's too busy creating that she doesn't even think about it. And so it was really nice that one of her students did that for her.
But that is good.
It was funny the way that she said it. Because you're terrible at this. They had been painting together for a while, so they kind of could do that.
Well, you guys let us know your thoughts on this. And are we way off base on some of these things or...
I feel like we're all over the place.
Are things changing? We kind of were today, so. Anyway, until next time.
Thanks for listening to Artists Soar,
a podcast for artists by artists. And if you have any questions, feel free to email us at hello@artistsoar.com.
And be sure to leave us a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts so that you can get more of us and we can bring in some sponsors to help you and help us.